Now that we're back to podcasting.
Baruch Hashem, we're back with a new span. You can see span, whatever it is. We're here in a learning Sanhedrin, Kaf Dalad Amud, sorry, Kaf Hey Amud Bet 25b. We are just over halfway down the page in the wide lines, the second wide line, two lines down. Towards the end of the line, the word Tana. So we started this brighter at the end of the last man. And this brighter is now adding on. We had in the Mishnah a list of people that are disqualified. And like we said, these were the dice player, the person who lends on interest, pigeon flyers, and those who
deal with Shemitah
goods. Right? So those people, and like we said, one of the reasons is because they are suspected of not being honest in a financial matters, that their heart is easily led astray, they're easily bribed, or they're not trustworthy, that finance overrules their honesty, their heart, they'll bend halacha in order to make some more money, right? So because of that, we don't want them being in the position of judges or in the position of witnesses, so we can't rely on them. Okay, so that was the Mishnah. Now Gemara has now brought us a couple of brighters which add on additional classes of people to that list that are also disqualified. So this brighter adds on. Tana. Od hosifu. They added on additionally. Aleihem to this list. Haroim. Hagabayim. Vahamochsin. The Roim, the shepherds, or the herders, we're going to see exactly who they are in a minute. The Gabayim, what's a Gabay? It doesn't mean those who give out the Aliyot and Shul. Fortunately,
tax collectors.
They're trustworthy. It means the tax collectors. In the Talmudic Lashon, a Gabay was a tax collector. They also do that a little bit now. They collect the Jews in the Beit Zur Knesset. So they still have a little bit of tax collecting to do. But these ones were tax collectors who were collecting money for the king. But Mochasin are also tax collectors. So what's the difference between Gabayin and Mochasin? So they're two different types of tax collectors. They both collect money from the people. The difference, according to the Perush of the art school anyway, the one that we follow, is that the Gabayin was salaried. They had a job. They were employees of the king or of the local landowner. Employees of the king, and they just did a job. The Mochasin, however, were in business on their own account. The difference, a big question in law that came up about 10 years ago. People started to move away from being employees to being in business on their own account, so they would save tax. Instead of paying all the employee taxes, and you just get paid net at the end of the day, the government take off all the taxes. Being an employee, and the boss just pays you at the end of the day the net amount, right? Instead of your pay slip says you get 10,000 shekels a month, and you end up in your pocket with like 6.5 or whatever it is, 7. So what happened? So people started to become self-employed, in which case, instead of getting paid 7,000, they get paid 10, the full amount, and they have to deal with the tax. You deal with the tax yourself, right? And you usually come away better. So then. Right, everyone started declaring themselves, no, even though they had the same job, I'll work for you, I'll carry on doing, being on the kupa, in the super, and instead of being an employee, I'll be self-employed, you just pay me the full amount, I'll do all the taxes. Right, so the government realised that this wasn't going to work, everyone's calling themselves self-employed. So what happened? So they changed it up in England anyway. Was a worldwide thing to a test of whether you're really in business on your own account. Are you, or you're just calling yourself a disguised employee? So anyway, so here's that similar difference. Are you an employee of the king? He pays you a salary, a fixed amount. Or you hear the tax collector, he buys the right to collect the taxes, pays the king an amount of money, 10,000 gold dinar, or whatever it is, shekel. And I now collect the taxes. I have to make up at least 10,000 gold shekel or more if I want to make a profit. So there's a question whether or not there was a fixed amount that he could charge, or he could charge more. But for our purposes, though, that's what's going on here. Okay, so both of these were later disqualified. It means that they weren't disqualified originally. If they were originally disqualified, our Mishnah would have listed them. But at the time of the Mishnah, there was only those people in the Mishnah. The Mishnah listed only those four people, types of people who were disqualified. The later ones were not, it's not a case of a competing Mishnah, that this one said this and someone had a different opinion. No. These are ones that came later. Later on, they added additional classes, and the Gemara explains why they added them later. So first of all, the first one, Ryan herders. Mikara, originally they were fine. Mikara, originally, Savor Akre Ba'almahu. Originally they thought that Akre Ba'alma, it was just an infrequent occurrence. What was infrequent? The infrequent occurrence of the fact that the shepherds would graze their flocks on other people's land. Infrequently, when you're passing through the land, by accident, they may go and eat someone else's food. If that was the case, then the shepherd is still a trustworthy guy, right? He's not intending by kavanah to steal people's food. It just happens by accident, kilu. It's what happens on the way. However, since they saw that now they were b'kavana, intentionally, shadows, they were sending them. They were intentionally sending the flocks to graze on other people's land. Right? From the beginning, right? They decided to do that. Gazru Bahu Rabbanan. They made a gazer against them. Rabbanan said, right now, all these shepherds, clearly it's a known thing that shepherds do this on purpose. And therefore, all shepherds were making a category of disqualifying them. You might have a trustworthy shepherd, it doesn't mean David HaMelech was a shepherd, right? But he would still, according to the law of the Mishnah, be disqualified from being a judge or witness, because he's in that category. And we have a halachic concept of lo plug. Lo plug is that you don't make an exception. If you have a rule, you have a rule. Rabbanan can make an exception in a specific case, because this is a rabbinic rule. So Rabbanan can override it. But generally speaking, there's a rule, there's a rule. We're going to see later on that actually shepherds, it depends on what type of shepherd. Not all shepherds. But at this point in the Gemara, shepherds were disqualified because they saw that, generally speaking, shepherds would intentionally allow their flocks to graze on other people's land. And therefore, they were now suspect financially of not being trustworthy, taking other people's produce, other people's goods. You can't be a judge and you can't be relied on as a witness. Okay, the next one in the list for the brighter, Hagabayim Amochasin, right? The tax collectors and the tax collectors, the salaried ones and the one who paid for the right to do it. So again, these were added later. Why? Mi'ikara, originally, Savor, it was thought, Maita Kitzlehu, Kashikale, whatever was fixed for them, that's what they collected. Right? They collected whatever they were assessed. There's no financial impropriety in being a tax collector. Why not? Because everyone needs to pay 200 shekels. So you go and collect 200 shekels. There's no suggestion that the tax collector is financially suspect. Right? He's just collecting whatever is assessed. That's what they thought originally. So originally they were allowed. Came under Chazu, but since they saw the Kashak Le Yateva, when they saw that they were taking more, Paslinu, they disqualified them. Right? They were getting greedy. You're right, so they were 200 shekel ahead, was assessed, but now they came around and they wanted more. So they disqualified them. That's not acceptable. Amar Rava. Rava says, Ro'esha Amru, the ro'eh that we were talking about, right? We said in the beginning of our brayta that the shepherd was disqualified. So which shepherd? So Rava now makes a distinction between the type of shepherd we're talking about. Ahad ro'eh behema. So Rava says there were two types of shepherd, and both of them apply. Ahad ro'eh behema dakan, v'ahad ro'eh behema gasa. There's two types of shepherd, halachically, two types. One type is a shepherd of behema daka, and one is a shepherd of behema gasa. What's daka? What's gasa?
Daka
in Hebrew means thin. Dak is thin, and gasa means fat.
So cows and horses, or sheep and goats.
Thin animals or thick animals, so to speak. So what's that? So like Rabbi Yaakov is telling us, it's sheep and goats are small, and cows and horses are big. Right, that's the basic distinction. Right? Any other one you have to try and fit into whichever one is ever.
But also they graze differently. Sheep and goats can strip bare a pasture, whereas cows and horses normally don't.
Yeah.
So you can't mix them.
Right. Also, you usually have larger numbers of flock, which is probably why they eat more, maybe. Because the horses, you don't have like 200 horses.
I think in the range wars of the 1800s in the United States, between the shepherds of sheep and the cattlemen.
Right, because like pro rata, you would assume that the larger animals eat more, like per head. But there is a large, I would have said that's true. But there's a larger number of the smaller animals, so they probably would strip the field quicker. I'm assuming that's right.
Well, so the way they eat all the way down, versus the cows that just eat the top.
Okay. Yes, sir. There we go. Okay. So Rabbi tells us that which is the shepherd that we're talking about that's disqualified? So according to Rabbi, it's both types. Both the shepherd of the small animal and the shepherd of the big animals. They're both disqualified under this rule. But the Gemara questions that. It says like this, Umi amar Rabbi hachi, did Rabbi really say that? Why? Bahamar Rabbi, because we heard Rabbi say apparently something different. What did Rabbi say different? He said like this, Ro'eh behema daka, Beretz Israel Pasulim. A shepherd of a small animal, the sheep and the goats, in Eretz Israel, is Pasul. He is disqualified. B'chutz la'aretz kasherin, but he is kosher in chutz la'aretz. We're not given the reason why he is kosher. Hold on, let's see. Beretz Israel. Hamiri tapi mishum yishuv Eretz Israel. So Rashi says the reason why is he's disqualified in Eretz Israel is because we're more strict in Eretz Israel, meaning he shouldn't really be disqualified in Eretz Israel either. Like he's allowed to be a shepherd in Chutz La'aretz of a thin animal. Apparently that's fine. We'll see. Maybe you see why in a minute, but that's fine. But in Eretz Israel, it's not fine. Why? Why is it not fine? Rashi says, because Hamirei Tapi, it's more chamor, more stringent. Mishum Yishuv Eretz Israel, because of settling Eretz Israel. We want Eretz Israel to be settled, and we don't want, I think, going with Rabbi Yaakov's explanation, that the lands are going to be stripped by all these small animals, so we don't want them. So this is not a prohibition based on the financial susceptibility of the ro'eh being financially suspect. This seems to be more of a deterrent to stop people being shepherds in Eretz Israel. You're not allowed to be a shepherd in Eretz Israel of small animals because we don't want the land to be stripped of its herbage and greenage and.
So they're really talking about protecting the erosion.
Huh?
Erosion. If there's erosion. No plants.
Right. So there's a question also now whether this applies today, when it, and also whether it applies if they're properly what's the word? Fenced in pen. They have a pen, right? Or not. Talk. Okay, so that's the reason why. So Rabbi said, so what did Rabbi say? So Rabbi said that small animals in Eretz Israel are eligible. Ro'er behema gasa, but the fat animals, the cows and the horses, afilu Eretz Israel kasherim, even in Eretz Israel, they're kosher. I mean both. Right, we're not bothered, we're not worried about the larger animals that they'll strip the land. So we do allow even them. So according to this ruling of Rabbah, Rabbah does make a chiluk, does make a difference between big animals, he says they're fine. You're allowed to graze big animals in Eretz Israel. Nothing wrong with that, you're a kosher witness, kosher judge. But the small animals you're not, you're pasul. Rashi says you happen to be pasul because it's for Eretz Israel. And therefore, Rabbah does have a chiluk. So Rabbah at the beginning of our sugya now here is saying, Echad ro'eh dakah, v'chad ro'eh gasah, appears to be contradiction. Stira Rabbah to Rabbah. Over there, Rabbah is saying both are disqualified. And over here, he's saying only the thin animals are disqualified. So how do we resolve that? So Gemara resolves it. Ahuba magdalim itma. That ruling is the one we just looked at. The ruling where he does allow large animals to be grazed, to be whatever they're, to be eligible. The shepherd of large animals. But Megadalim Itma was only stating regarding raising them and not pasturing them, right? Only raising them. So the Gemara says no. Even Rabbah agrees. Rabbah, when he said that they're both disqualified, that still stands. They are both disqualified in the case of shepherds who are grazing the animals. In the case where Rabbah said that the large animals are kosher, even in Eretz Israel, he was talking only about raising them. Raising them in a stable, if you like, from young, but not taking them out and grazing them. Anyone who takes them out and grazes them, Rabbah was saying, is disqualified because clearly he's stealing other people's food, other people's fields. But the one, when Rabbah said that you're allowed to do it, you're kosher, he was only talking, says the Gemara, about those who raise them, right? Who grow them in the farm, raise them from young, and then sell them. They're not talking about shepherds who go around grazing them.
Do you call a shepherd if you raise them?
Apparently.
Rancher?
Maybe we'll call him rancher. We call him, maybe have different names. But here, I'm assuming the word ro'er is a generalized term. Ro'er behema gasa. In this second case where Rabbah is talking about the difference between those in Eretz Israel and those in Chutz La'aretz, he's talking, it's specifically, that's a context where he's talking about raising them. Because there is a difference about raising animals in Eretz Israel and raising animals in Chutz La'aretz. And the Gemara now confirms that, or gives extra proof by saying, "V'hachi nami mistabra." This is also hachanami. This is also mistabra. It's also logical, right? I can also bring you a logical proof why. Mitzakatane, like it was taught in the Mishnah. Which Mishnah? The previous Mishnah to this one, the one we learned before, the previous Mishnah. Ne'emanim alai shlosha ro'e bakar. Right, remember we saw in that Mishnah where a person was choosing for himself judges and he wasn't allowed to back out. Right, if he chose three shepherds from the marketplace or your Abba or my Abba, right, we learned that Mishnah. So over in there, in that Mishnah said the words, Ne'eman alai shlosha ro'e bakar. If three ro'e bakar, it didn't just say three shepherds, it said ro'e bakar. It didn't have to say that, it could have just said three shepherds, three ro'im. But it said ro'e bakar, shepherds of cows, bakar is a cow. Therefore, what do I learn from that? My lol eidut. Maybe I could learn from that we were talking about that they were only disqualified for, or they were not disqualified, they were they were, you couldn't go back on it in that mission, right? That in the case of testimony, if you had three, maybe over there, if you want to say over there, that they were talking about testimony, witnesses, that if you chose for yourself three witnesses who were cattle farmers, that you couldn't go back once you'd chosen them. You couldn't change your mind. So the Gemara says, lo, ledina, no. We're talking about even judging. Why? Because we see from the fact that the Mishnah chose the word cattle farmer meant that only the cattle farmer would have been disqualified anyway. Why did we say in the Mishnah, why did we bring the example of someone who says, I allow three cattle farmers to be judges or witnesses? It must be that the reason I said that in the Mishnah, because otherwise they would have been disqualified. Because otherwise there's no point saying someone, I agree, someone who's eligible to be a... It's not a chiddush, right? I agree that these three lawyers can be witnesses. And once you agree with that, you can't go back in it. Obviously you can't go back, there's nothing wrong with it. So you must have to bring me something that would otherwise be disqualified in order to say that if you pick that disqualified group, then there's a question, there's an argument whether or not you can go back and change your mind. And the ruling of the Mishnah is you can't change your mind once you pick, well, according to Rabbi Meir or Achamim, but top. But the
even if it's a gambler? It's a gambler.
Or for example, a gambler.
Right.
So you go along the same lines of that Mishnah, because that Mishnah chose one of the disqualified categories and said, if you pick one of these disqualified categories, then you're stuck with them, according to my pocket.
If you knew it ahead of time.
If you didn't know, you could argue that it wasn't a Kenyan, you didn't agree. There was no agreement if you didn't know. But if you knew, then can you go back? So there's an argument whether or not you can go back, and there's opinion that you can, but you would only pick the category that was already disqualified, otherwise there's nothing to talk about. So here you see from the fact, the Gemara now brings, you see from the fact that if he chose the cattle herders, the Gassa, that the Gassa is disqualified. Right? That they are disqualified. You can't say that they're eligible. And that agrees with, that's a support for Rava, who also said that even though in the, we had two shins. No, I'm going to show you why it's important, that's why I want the two shins, because otherwise it's not so clear. Where's my two shins? I'm going to have to use Shnif's powers of words to explain what I'm
saying. But someone misplaced the board markers?
Okay, so let's say about this. So we'll say that. Ah, we found it. Oh, yep. Wonderful. How are we doing on time? Yeah. So Rabbi said two things, right? We have two statements of Rabbi. We'll call this Rabbi 1. Rabbi 1 said, both, I'm going to use the Hebrew, Daka, right? Daka is sheep, we'll call it sheep for example, and Gasa, call them cows. Right, both are what we're talking about here, ineligible. Right, not eligible. No, actually, let's call it disqualified.
Pesel.
Both are pasul. Yeah, we'll stick with Hebrew. Let's answer Hebrew. Pasul. Both are pasul. Right? Both dak and gasa are pasul. Right? That's the first statement of Rava. Rava said, which ro'er are we talking about? Are we talking about ro'er dak? He said, achad dak avachad gasa pasul. We then have another statement of Rava, because the Gemara said, wait a minute, did Rava really say that? Rava said something else. Rava number two said, Daka in Eretz Yisrael Pasul Gasa. He doesn't say Eretz Yisrael, so we're assuming both. Kosher. They're okay. So that was the initial problem that the Gemara had. He doesn't say, but we're assuming that's what we're talking about. But all, yeah. Even though we're talking Talmud badly, we're talking about Ba'ish rather than otherwise specified. Okay, so that was the first kasha of the Gemara. And the Gemara said, wait a minute, did Rabbi really say this? Because he also said this. And they don't go together. Right? This one, both passed on. This one, Gasta is apparently kosher. So, then we said the answer, the Gemara gave an answer, and it said, no, right, it's not a kasha, why not? Here, right, meaning here, talking about raising. Right. Not grazing. Right, we're not talking about grazing. We're talking about raising. Raising is kosher. Right, but for sure grazing he agrees is passive. Okay. So now, having got that answer, this is the answer of the Gemara that tries to resolve this. And the Gemara now brings a support. Right, this is what I think is, I've solved the kasha. We had a kasha, and I've solved it. I'm saying, no, he's talking about something else. And I'm going to support that. It's just a spur. I don't know, maybe he's not talking about something else. Maybe he actually meant that, and it is a problem. So, the Gemara says, you know what, I'm going to solve it, and I'm going to prove, I'm going to give you proof for why this is correct. Why what I'm saying is correct. It's a good answer. But I don't know, maybe you just put all that out there. Maybe it is talking about something else. So the Gemara says, no, I'm going to give you a support. What's the support? The support is from our previous mission. The support comes from the fact that the previous mission has said cow herders are disqualified, right? Those words aren't in the Mishnah, but if you choose them, you're stuck with them, right? That was basically the Mishnah. This bit in brackets are disqualified, wasn't in there. But now the Gemara is bringing that in to say, by the way, it must be implicit in that Mishnah that they were disqualified. Otherwise you would never have chosen them to be stuck with them, because it wouldn't have been a chiddush. So now I'm bringing that extra piece of information in to that Mishnah. It must be that the cow herders were disqualified in the Mishnah. I knew that already in the Mishnah. And therefore, the fact that cow herders, which are gasa, right? Cow herders are the gasa, they are disqualified. So therefore, that helps support this, because Rava could never have said this. Rava's not, can't go against an explicit Mishnah that tells you already that cow herders are disqualified. So Rava over here for sure never meant to tell me that they were kosher in this case. Rabbi for sure did not mean to tell me that cow herd is a really kosher in all cases. And therefore that supports this answer of how to resolve the kasher. This does have support that he wasn't talking about grazing them. It was only when he said they were kosher, he was only talking about raising them. Because Rabbi wouldn't have gone against this other mission. Okay. So that's part one. The Gemara now adds, I know the part one may be tough, that's part one. Part two of the proof, if you like, is also a proof. Maybe this first proof wasn't the proof that the Gemara was getting at, but this is the proof that we came up with, Baruch Hashem, also. Because the Gemara goes on a different road here now. He says, Daika Nami, maybe this is the second proof, Nami. Right, it could be, I'm going to take this as a second proof that this exists in the Gemara. I didn't just make this up. Right, there's a second proof here. Daika Nami. It's also evident from Daika. Daika is Davka, precise meaning. The precise lashon of the Gemara. How? Not by going on the fact that they're cattle herders, but by the fact that it says three. The Katane Shlosha Ra'ivaka. The fact that he chose three cattle herders. Why did he choose three? Ve'il Eidut, Shlosha Lamali. If we were only talking about Eidut, the fact that they were disqualified from being witnesses, I wouldn't have needed three. Why? Because you only need two witnesses. So in that Mishnah, the Mishnah says, well, let's just look at the Mishnah, the wording of the Mishnah. The Mishnah said, Amodalad. It says, Neman alai shlosha ro'ei bakar. If I say three ro'ei bakar, three cattle herders are acceptable to me, .. Back pocket. Acceptable to me for what? So the Gemara wants to know, the Gemara is just checking over here now, what were we talking about? We're talking only about witnesses? No. Clearly not. Clearly we're talking about judges, because otherwise we wouldn't have said three. So when we said three, it comes to tell me that that we're talking about judges, which is what the Gemara wanted to check, being disqualified applies to both and wasn't applying just to witnesses.
You were talking about both judges and witnesses.
Nahon, both judges and witnesses.
Yeah. And the Arif is saying it's just the judges.
He's saying over there, you might have thought that they were only talking about witnesses, that disqualification only applied to witnesses. We didn't ask that question over there, but we appear to be asking it over here now, that maybe that Gemara was only talking, that Mishnah was only talking about witnesses, and therefore it doesn't apply here. You can't use that as proof in this argument of Rava about who's disqualified. You might say they're disqualified anyway, or they're not, or you can't use that as a proof.
And that Mishnah.
That Mishnah.
We were talking about judges.
We won't, but we only know that now, because we didn't ask the question over there, are we only talking about judges?
Didn't tell us.
No, we just assumed it just says, man alai, shoshar, roke, roe bakar. Doesn't say to be judges, just says, man alai. I accept upon myself those three cattle herders. We assume that the way that the art scroll anyway, the translation, the way the whole thread is that we're talking about, it wasn't a question, we just said it as if it was. But over here you could say maybe they were talking about witnesses disqualified, or you're stuck with them. Saying no, because there's three. Okay, so therefore we see that we are talking about judges. Ve'ela Myladina. And rather, why Ella Myladina? Ella Mai. Sorry, the Ella Mai. Rather what? Meaning, what's your alternative? Ladina. My Iraya Shlosha Rebecca. Why did, so here he brings now, I think, what we brought earlier. I think I basically gave the answer earlier than it brings specifically now. Ma'ira shlosha ra'ei bakar. Why does it specify three cattle herders? Kobe talata delogamari dinanami. Any three men who were not gemire dira, dina. You might have said, Here the Gemara now brings what we just said over here, but specifically. The Gemara says it in slightly different terms. I said over there that we were talking about cattle herders because they, for sure they had to be disqualified because otherwise they would have been kosher. The Gemara is a bit more fine. It says it like this. Why did it pick cattle herders? You could have picked in that Mishnah any three people who weren't... Boki, who weren't knowledgeable in the law. If we're talking now about judges, you're telling me now that we're talking about judges, that the Mishnah was saying what three judges are disqualified. I'm not talking about witnesses. You're talking about witnesses. This next comment now of the Gemara doesn't apply, right? Because witnesses, we don't care. Witnesses are not learned. Witnesses are just anyone. But if you say that Mishnah is talking about judges, then you could have said in this Mishnah, you could have brought an example of three people who you would not have expected to be a judge because they're just not learned. The Mishnah might have chosen instead three makolet owners or three school teachers to be judges. If you choose three school teachers to be a judge, three ganenets to be a judge, or men anyway, right? To be a judge, then you're stuck with them. What's the chidush? Obviously you're stuck with them, they're kosher, they can be a judge. So the chidush would have been over there, that I'm coming to teach you that someone you know for sure doesn't know the laws. He's a school teacher, he's not boki in the law, right? Three car repairmen, right? Three people who are trustworthy, but they don't know law. But if you chose them to be your judges, then you're stuck with them. And the Mishnah could have told you, could have picked a profession that doesn't know anything about law. And that would have been a good Mishnah. Right? It would have been a chiddush. You could have chosen three sweet shop owners, three doctors, right? You could have chosen that, and then the Mishnah would have been coming to tell you that even if you chose three judges who for sure you knew had no clue about what the law really was in the halacha, they're not boki in halacha, they have no idea who owes money and what he should pay and whether or not, even if you chose them, you're stuck with them. So the Gemara is pointing out the fact that it didn't choose that and it chose three cattle herders was dafka for what this reason is, the fact that they would otherwise be disqualified. Not just the fact that they weren't knowledgeable, because you could have chosen any three professions, any professional that wasn't knowledgeable in halakha, but you chose dafka cattle herders. So from the precise choice of the Mishnah, I learn out what I'd actually said before, but it's now brought here in the Gemara, not earlier, that actually they were disqualified. They're a category that's disqualified. I didn't bring you doctors, because no one assumes doctors or sweet shop owners are disqualified from being judges.
Why would anyone assume that the Rovim are not learned? All of our Rovim are great people.
They were, but generally speaking, we're talking about We're talking about in this time and place and the normal world, they're not expected to be.
The world I'm talking about.
The Ra'eh is a.
So the example you put before you is David Melik, would even be.
He'll be the exception. He's an exception. He's my Mashin exception. Yes.
Would he be an exception? Would he be disqualified?
He'd be, according to the halacha, he's disqualified. It's a good shaila, right? Can he was a king, right? Can David HaMelech be a judge? He's a shepherd. All shepherds are disqualified from being judges because they graze on other people's land. They're assumed to graze, and therefore lo plug. We make an exception. They can't be witnesses or judges.
Did we learn about a king?
So we learned that the king is not allowed to judge. No, can't judge and be judged. We learned that the honey can't judge and can't be judged.
It
certainly can't be judged. Why can't he be a judge? We learned the reason why he can't be a judge.
We can't set the calendar because he has interest in paying.
No, I tell you why we can't be a judge. He can't be a judge because people would be afraid to go against him. Because he's going to sit on a panel with others and they wouldn't go against him. So he can't be a judge. And he's not allowed to be a witness either. Why not? Because then he would have to stand to give testimony. It's not kavod that he has to stand while everybody else is sitting.
Well, he has to be a
yeah, but not for the laws of Beit Din. Meaning the king's not allowed to testify in Beit Din. He's wonderful, he's a king, right? King's allowed to kill whoever he wants by his own decision, but he's not allowed to be a judge on a panel of three in a Beit Din. For sure. And he's you can't go against the king. You can't, you know, if he says black is white and white is black, it's wonderful. But he's not in the procedural law of the court. He's not allowed it for his own kavod. For the kavod of the king, which is the kavod of Hashem, that we don't allow him in.
I'm just saying, like you said, because it's a rabbinic law for certain purposes, could you allow it?
Nachon. But it has to be a good reason,
sure.
Right? And we saw what happened. We saw the case where the king was allowed. There was an incident. The king was allowed.
Gilead's son. The king's son.
And what happened there? There was a big disaster. And there was whatever happened there, it wasn't good. Tov, we should do Chazorah. Tov, how we did on time? Okay, so we're up. Let's just see if we got to the end of that. Okay, let's just finish this. So we see from there, right, that they chose specifically cattle herders, right, because otherwise they would have been disqualified, right, which supports Rava. Hachi ka'amah, this is what the Mishnah means to say. Afilu hanei delo shechiche bishu. The Gemara answers, you don't need to learn it that way. Even this way that we're explaining, you don't need to learn it that way. Hachi kamar, you can learn it differently. This is what the Mishnah is saying. Why did the Mishnah choose cattle herders? Not because they're already disqualified. And that's why it chose, and it didn't choose a sweet shop owner. Chose for a different reason. Chose why? Afilu hani delo shechiche bishuv. Even these, because they're not commonly found in a settled area.
Okay.
Even those, that you can't retract them. There's a difference between cattle herders, shepherds generally. Here he's not making a chilo. He's saying shepherds generally, and sweet shop owners. Why did I choose cattle herders and not sweet shop owners or doctors for the choice of the Mishnah? It's not to come to tell me that those ones are disqualified, and even disqualified people that you choose you're stuck with. No. You can say even that cattle herders are not disqualified, and that's not why they were chosen. So why did you single out cattle herders in this Mishnah specifically? Because to teach you the case of even those people who are not commonly in a yeshuv. What does it matter? They're not kosher only in Yishuv. So Rashi says that they're not commonly in Yishuv means that they don't see or hear. Where's the Rashi? He says they don't see or hear. Rosh Yechidat Bishop, lo ra'u v'lo shamu iskei din. They don't see and they don't hear the workings of a Beit Din. Adam l'chaveiro. Ikablum aleihem lo matzi leheda. And if you chose to accept them upon yourself, you can't go back. So even people who are sweet shop owners, or people who are doctors, or people who are school teachers, they work in the city. So even though they're not Voki and Halacha, you could at least argue that they're familiar with cases. They hear about it all the time. This one sued that one, and that one won, and this one. But these people who are, they're out in the fields, they never even get to hear about Beit Din. Even those people, you choose them, you're stuck with them. You can't rely on the fact that they know really nothing about Halacha. And that's why you chose cowherds. Not because they're disqualified. They're not disqualified. But they're an extreme example of people who really don't know Halacha. And that's why I chose them as the example in the Mishnah, in order to teach you the Mishnah about people who don't know Halacha. That you're stuck with people who don't know Halacha. Not that you're stuck with people who are disqualified. Amar Rabbi Huda, let's just finish the end of the sugya, the last line. Amar Rabbi Huda, Rabbi Huda said, Stam ro'e pasul, stam gabai kasher. A stam ro'e is pasul, but a stam gabai is kosher. What's stam? So here, he brings back David HaMelech, Baruch Hashem. Someone who is not known. A stam ro'e. Someone who we don't know. A stam ro'e that we don't know. I don't know if he's kosher or not. I don't know anything about him. So a stam ro'eh is pasul. But a stam gabai, a stam tax collector, this is according to Rabbi Yehuda, I don't know if we follow him the stack. Rabbi Yehuda says a stam tax collector, unless you know that he overcharges, he's trusted. He just collects the money. Rabbi Yehuda says it has a different spin, if you like. An ordinary shepherd, stam shepherd that you don't know anything about, we assume that he grazes on other people's land and he's passive. But a stam tax collector, we don't assume that he overcharges until we know that evidence to the contrary. I think tomorrow. Top.